searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live. This the way to go.
The show.
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 You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
The primary or key word in Psalm 119 and 71 is affliction. Affliction is what we're going to primarily focus on this morning. And there are a number of meanings and definitions, but I just want to give a few so we can understand what affliction is and we can identify affliction when we get to going or experiencing it. First of all, affliction has to do with hardship. When I'm dealing with hardships in life, painful situations, whether you're dealing with pain mentally, physically, emotionally, and so forth, when you're constantly dealing with painful situations, it has to do with being afflicted. Okay? Difficult times. We call them trials. Tribulation. Those words are synonymous with affliction. And understand something. Just because you are a young Christian, that does not exempt you from experiencing affliction. You and I, because we are born again, or if you born again, we will experience affliction throughout our life. You can't pray affliction away. You can't fast it away. I'm going to show you in a few minutes that we are going to experience affliction, whether it be in your health, whether it be in your mind, money, family, what have you. We're going to experience it. How many have a good understanding of what it means when it comes to affliction? Yeah. Now, before I deal with it a little bit further, I want you to understand something about affliction that the Lord dealt with me about to better help you understand. There are various types of affliction, but understand three types. Affliction is common. Say that. Say affliction is common. Yeah, affliction is common to man. Because you are human, because you are here on earth, you're going to experience hardship. Jesus talked about that. I believe it was in John 14 and 33. He talked about how in this life you will have tribulation or affliction. You'll have trouble. And then he goes on to say, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Hardships, young folk, it's just common to man. You're not the first one to have to experience a divorce. You're not the first one to have a doctor give you a bad diagnosis. You're not the first one to have to deal with the issues of life. It is common. Okay? Second thing I want you to understand about affliction is not only common, sometimes we experience affliction because of our choices. Okay. Sometimes young folk make jacked up or stupid choices, and now your life is harder. Now your life is more painful. Now I'm okay with the common part, but I got to make sure my choices are in line with God's word so I don't experience any type of affliction that God has not purposed for me to experience. Okay? Go ahead. If you choose to get on drugs, you're going to experience some affliction. You go ahead. You have the choice. If you want to be sexually active, you're going to experience some affliction. Now y'all ain't talking to me. Go ahead. Get in the street life. It's your choice. You want to run them streets. Guess what's waiting on you? Affliction. We're going to go through things based upon our choices. Always remember that, man. If I do this, if I go there, if I touch this, if I choose this, I need to understand there's going to be consequences. Because we will reap what we sow. But thirdly, young folk, understand that affliction is not only common, it not only depends on your choices, but there are some afflictions that God chooses us for. There are some afflictions that God say, look, this right here, this for DJ. DJ, you gonna go through this. Yeah, you good young lady. You save, you sing on the praise team, but this affliction got your name on it. See, sometimes we say, Lord, this a blessing got my name on it. Well, know this, it's some afflictions that God will choose for us specifically. Okay? This right here, this got Letitia name on it right here. Yeah, we got a Letitia and a Letitia. And God got chosen affliction for both of them. Baker, this for you right here. You can go to church 7 days a week. You can pray every day, Baker. Read your Bible, talk in tongue. But Baker, I still got something that you're going to feel. Can we take it to the Bible? God told or asked Satan. He said, look, have you considered my servant Job? Take him through. Go ahead. You can touch his family. You can touch his body. You can touch his money. But you cannot touch his life. See, God chooses us to go through different things. Don't ever get jealous of somebody else. Are y'all with me? Don't ever wish you were somebody else. Because you may not be able to handle what they dealing with. But God promised you and I, he'll put no more on us than we can handle. I thank God for my bishop, but I don't want his cup. The cup he have is for him. You love your pastor, but you don't want the cup that I drink from. You want your own cup. Matter of fact, Jesus had to tell James and the sons of Zebedee's mother, look, she wanted her boys to be up there with Jesus. But Jesus turned around and said, look, are they able to drink this cup? There are some things that God has ordained for all of us to go through. And when he allows us to go through it, we need to embrace it. Because again, he will not put on us, help me out, no more than we can bear. And I'm teaching and preaching at the same time. Are y'all with me? Afflictions, I say it with me, common, based upon our choices. But then there's some that we are divinely chosen for. Y'all turn to 1 Thessalonians. Matter of fact, don't go there. Just read it with me. I'm going to trust that you would go there. 1 Thessalonians. Notice this, 3:3. Take note, but read with me. Notice what Paul said, that no one should be shaken by these what? Afflictions. For you yourself know that you were appointed to this. Just because you decided to get saved at a young age, that's a wonderful choice. But understand, God is going to appoint you to go through some things so you can mature and so you can help somebody else. So don't cry about what you're going through. Just count it all. Count it all joy. You are appointed to go through various afflictions. So don't let it shake you. Don't let it get you out the will of God. Just keep in mind, afflictions are not always pleasant, but it's common. It's based upon our choices. And we got to remember, we are divinely chosen for what we go through, as long as it comes from God. Okay, y'all got that little side note? All right, now let's look at what the Bible says about affliction. I want to deal with it a little bit more. Can we go further? Can we go up the street? Can we ride a little bit more? All right, let's look at some truths about affliction. All right, y'all go to Psalm with me. Psalm 34 and 19. See, if don't nobody amen me, I know Lil Junior gonna amen me. That's some good teaching right there. All right, Psalm 34, and notice verse number 19. This is a verse you need to know. You need to know this verse. Y'all ready? All right, let's read together. Read it with me. Many are the afflictions of who? The righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of who? The righteous. First truth I want you to understand, young folk, is that the righteous experience, notice, many afflictions. Many. Not some, but many. And remember, to whom much is given, much is required. We all gonna experience affliction. But YLT members gonna experience a little bit more. Why? Who much is given, much is required. Adult leaders, they're gonna experience more than YLT. Ministers gonna experience more than the leaders. Elders gonna experience more. Why? To whom much is given, much is required. You the oldest sister. You supposed to be an example to your brothers and your sisters. You the oldest brother. Just because of that, your position, you're going to experience some things. But I love the verse. He said, we're going to go through a lot, but the Lord going to deliver us out of it all. Out of everything that afflicts us, the Lord is going to deliver us. If God allows you to go through something in your body, it's painful. But remember, he's going to deliver me out of this. May have to go through this for 4 years, but he's going to deliver me out of this. Folk in scripture went through in their body 12 and 13 years, but Jesus delivered them out of what they went through. My God shows no respect to person. He does not change. If he brought them out, he's going to bring me out. David's own daddy didn't even have much affection, didn't even deal with him like he did his other children, his other boys. But look at greatness that came out of David's life. Just because your daddy don't show you affection and love, that don't mean you're not going to be great. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Look at somebody say, but. That's right. He going to deliver them. But deliver us out of them all. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Okay? 2 Timothy 4. Now, I'm looking for this section over here to participate a little bit more. 2 Timothy 4. And we're going to look at one verse. So the first truth we learned about affliction is that the righteous, folk that live by faith, we're going to experience many types of what? Affliction. Okay? Notice 2 Timothy 4 and 5. Ready? This is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, but you be watchful in what? All things. Endure what? Afflictions. But notice, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Second truth about affliction, young folk. We must endure what? Affliction. Endure. We got to demonstrate joy, obedience, and patience while we're suffering. That's what it means to endure. I'm still happy. I'm still doing what God told me to do. And I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm still being patient. Because, see, some young folk and adults, when they get to going through things, they get to poking their lip out because things ain't going the way they want it to go. Baby, you being afflicted, you got to count it all. You got to count it all joy. Just because you ain't got the money you want, now you're going to start pouting? Just because you don't have what you desire, you going to hold back your praise? No, you got to endure that thing as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You got to be happy. You got to keep obeying God and just be patient. Because if you let patience have her perfect work, you're going to be perfect. You're going to be complete, and you're going to be lacking nothing. But look at the text, young folk, and my small portion of grown folk. Look at 2 Timothy 4 and 5. He says, endure affliction, but then he says, do the work and fulfill your ministry. See, some folk, when they get to going through things, they want to stop serving in ministry. But I want to train you, young folk, when you get to going through things, you got to learn how to press your way. You endure affliction, but you still get up here and sing. You endure affliction, but you still get up here and lead prayer. You endure affliction, but you do the work. You get up here, if you're on the calendar to teach, don't be talking about, I need somebody to switch out with me. No, endure affliction to do the work and fulfill your ministry. I can't tell you how many times I've been sick going through in my body, but I knew Sunday was my day to come up here and feed God folk. I could easily say, hey, I need so-and-so to minister. Hey, can we play a game? No, I can't do that. I got to endure affliction. God chose me to be a pastor, and I got to feed God folk, whether I'm going hoarse, whether I'm fighting the flu, whether I got a migraine, whether my back and my neck is hurting. I got to get up here, endure affliction, do the work of a pastor, and fulfill my purpose, fulfill my ministry. And young folk, you got to do the same thing. You down to dance, but then you mess around and you done sprained your ankle. You got to figure it out. You got to get to praying, Lord, what do I need to do, Lord? What do I need to do? I'm down to dance. I've been dedicating myself. I've been practicing. And now I got this thing. What I got to do? Do I need to get a cane up there? Do I need to get a chair? What I got to do? Because I got to and I desire to fulfill and do the work of the ministry. Woo. And how many know there are some extreme occasions? Yeah, there are some extreme occasions where we know you may not can do certain things. But some of God's folk, some folk will skip church in a minute. I got a flat tire. I can't come. Look, catch a ride. God done blessed the church with a van. You got a telephone. You can call somebody. Isn't it amazing how we press our way for other things? We sick, but hey, I'm going to go on in here and punch this clock. Man, my back hurting, but let me go on in here to practice. We'll press our way for other things. But then when it comes to doing the work of the ministry, when we going through, some saints just want to say, hey, it ain't that important. But how many know this is important? God's kingdom is number one. It's very important. And so as young folk, I want you to understand, young adults, let us be reminded when we get to going through things, we need to endure it. We still need to think, talk, and do according to the will of God in the midst of what we are, what we're going through. Okay? So the first truth we learned about affliction. Righteous folk have what? Many afflictions. Second truth, we must what? Endure. All right, let's close it out on 2 Corinthians 4. I'm getting happy. Am I the only one? It need to be taught, but I'm trying to salt some preaching into the message. Let me hold that salt back. All right, look at 2 Corinthians 4. Y'all read it like I feel it. Y'all read it like I feel it. Let me see. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. Y'all ready? Y'all got to hurry up. I'm rolling. I'm happy and I'm ready. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. Ready, go. For our... See, y'all ain't reading it like I feel it. Y'all ain't reading it like I feel it. Let's try it again. I feel good. Let me hear y'all read it like I feel it. Ready? For our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now y'all ready to preach. Slow down. Let's try it again. For our... You see how Paul looking at what he going through? This light work. This light. This light work. When I compare what I'm going through to what Jesus went through, this light affliction. When I look at what I'm going through and compare it to what Paul went through, this light affliction. Paul talked about how Satan himself buffeted him. He put a thorn in his flesh. Oh, the devil himself is not attacking me. This is light affliction. This ain't nothing but a demon attacking me. Paul had Satan himself. This is light affliction. You short $20. Look at somebody say, that's light affliction. Matter of fact, that ain't even no affliction. But look at his mindset based upon what he's going through. But this is what I want to deal with. He said, it's but for how long? Y'all can't read. Which is for but a moment. My light affliction is just for a moment. What do I want us to see? Afflictions have an expiration. Your affliction is only assigned to you for a particular season. It has an expiration. You go home right now, that milk in the refrigerator, if you have some, guess what it got? It got an expiration. Your bread at home right now, white bread, wheat bread, guess what it got? Expiration. But guess what your trial has? Guess what your affliction has? It has expiration. When the Lord says it's over, it's over. But you and I, we don't know the expiration. We don't know when it's going to be over. We just got to endure it and know that it's not going to be like this always. You're not going to be in pain always. What you're going through is working for you. You ain't going to be broke always. What you're going through is working for you. You're not going to be on the bottom always. You being on the bottom right now is, y'all slow, is working for you. Look at somebody say, what I'm going through is working for me. Yeah, God has a way of working out things while we're being afflicted. Even though we're experiencing pain, you need to have in your mindset, Lord, you working it out. Because Paul said, all things work together for my good. This affliction, this pain, is going to be a part of my story. Woo! See, folk just want to talk about the glory, but you need to talk about the affliction in the story. Because when you are afflicted, that makes the story good. Are y'all understanding, young folk? Your affliction has an expiration. He says, it's just for a moment. It's just for a season. Whether that's 2 weeks, 4 months, or 7 years, it's going to stop. It ain't going to always be like this. How many are understanding? And see, as young folk, you need to understand this about affliction. As young adults, because you're going to be afflicted. You're going to go through hardships. In relationships, your personal life, and so forth. Your health, you're going to go through things, but always remember, it has an expiration. Now, I believe before we go on, we can mess it up and we can prolong it if we don't do in the affliction what we need to do. I don't want to be in the fire longer than I need to be. I want to be in there just right. How many know what I'm talking about? So what did we learn? 3 truths about affliction. Y'all say it with me. Righteous or the righteous experience how many affliction? Many. Come on, everybody. Number 2, we must endure affliction. And finally, afflictions have an expiration. They have an expiration. In our text, in Psalm 119:71, the psalmist reveals that afflictions, especially when God has his hand in them, they are beneficial. And they were beneficial because he learned something. And see, when you get to facing hardship in life, trouble in life, one of the first things that needs to be taking place is you need to be learning something. What am I learning? Because if I have to go through this again, I want to go through it better than I did the first time. What am I learning? And to keep it contextual, the psalmist, he learned the Lord's statutes. I don't want y'all to say, what did you learn today? What's that S word? Y'all say it with me. Say statutes. That's right. Statutes. Affliction is beneficial if we learn the Lord's, help me, statutes. I didn't hear no bass. I heard sopranos and altos. Let's try it again. Afflictions are beneficial if we learn the Lord's statutes. Thank you, brothers. Learn. You got to acquire some wisdom. Acquire some wisdom, some knowledge, and some what? Understanding. Acquire some wisdom, young folk. When you get to going through difficult times, learn something. Don't come out of hardship stupid or the same way. You come out saying, man, I learned what to do and I learned what not to do. Learn something about bad relationships. Man, he took me through. She took me through. But I learned the next young woman I deal with, she ain't gonna be like such and such. The next young man I fool with, he ain't gonna be like such and such. Why? You learn. Okay, you made a mistake. You got pregnant. Okay, we saw your tears. You came down to the altar. You got restored. But you still a woman. You still have hormones. You still have desires. The question is, have you learned something? Have you learned something? You wrecked the car. I said you wrecked the car. And the officer said it was your fault. Now, it may be some time, but you're going to eventually be able to drive again. Now the question is, have you learned from your past mistakes? Learn something, young folk. Even as parents, we got to learn something about our kids. You got to learn, hey, I can't trust him. No, I put too much trust in him. And he, no. I love him, but he done taught me. I can't trust him like that. And sometimes your kids feel like, you so respect the person. You know what you say as a parent? You're right. You're right. Because you done showed me I can't trust you. Y'all hear my parents? They alive now, ain't they? But it's just the truth. But we can flip it. Look at somebody say, you can reverse it. Yeah. You have to do the same thing with your friends, young folk. You have to do the same. Tell one of your so-called friends something that you shouldn't have told them in the first place. And then next thing you know, everybody laughing and talking about you. Don't be on that dumb stuff and tell that girl the same private thing something again. Guess what she gonna do? And it ain't her fault. It's you. You the dumb one. You didn't learn. They embarrassed me. They put it on social media and told everybody. Okay, that happened, but did you learn? Don't tell that gal nothing else no more. Don't tell that gal that. Now, if you do, Pastor Baker says you on that dumb stuff. Yeah, and you have not You ain't learned. You ain't learned. When you experience hardship, young folk, learn something. Learn. Y'all feeling me? But again, what did the psalmist learn? He learned the Lord's what? What's that S word? Statutes. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. Y'all stay with me. Statutes have to do with the word. Statutes have to do with a specific way of how God wants us to think, talk, and act. We would be right to say his ways. But the Lord's statutes have to do with his word. His commandments that he gives us. Look, Baker, I want you to think this way. Talk this way. And I want you to act this way. These are my statutes. But he'll tell you as a young girl, I want you to think this way. Talk this way. And act this way. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of girls at school doing another way, but you obey my statutes. You're going to get on that team and you're going to see a lot of young men carrying themselves a certain way. But you obey my statutes. My word. My way of thinking. Come on, young folk. Talking and acting. And that's what the psalmist learned when he got to experiencing affliction. Now, there are a number of things we need to learn, but I'm going to stay contextual. We need to learn God's ways. We need to learn God's statutes also when we are afflicted as young men and young women. And so in my close, I want to look at some reasons we need to learn from or we need to learn God's statutes when we are afflicted. Y'all still with me? All right. We're going to look at some reason and we're going to be done. Y'all still with me? All right. Some of y'all feeling like y'all falling off. Y'all still with me? Okay. Why do we need to learn the Lord's statutes when we are afflicted? And I'm going to give us some reasons and we will be done. Let's start in Psalm 19. That bottle good, ain't it? Oh, he ain't even on no bottle. It sound like he was on the bottle. Mothers, that's your sign. Psalm 19. All right. Let me get the young ladies to read this verse. Psalm 19 and verse number 8. Psalm 19 and verse number 8. We're going to read the first part. All right, ladies, ready? I'm going to help you. The statutes of the Lord are. Let's try it again. Ready, go? The statutes of the Lord are right. Y'all sound so good. The first reason we need to learn the Lord's statutes when we are afflicted, because his statutes are, they're right. Your way ain't right. God's way is right. I better say that again. Your way is different from God's way. God's way is right. It's correct. And it is the best way to go. Pouting in the midst of your trial, young folk, is not doing the Lord's statute. Counted it all joy is. That's the best way. When you need finances, holding on to your money is not the best way. The Bible says that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That's the Lord's statute. That's the best way. I feel like giving up. I need to just go ahead and listen to some music to get my mind. That ain't the best way. Jesus said, pray and you will not lose heart or faint. That's the Lord's statute. When you feel weak, it's time to get in there and pray. When we are afflicted, we got to remember God's way is the best way. Staying at home when you should be at church is not the best way. Thank God for watching it on YouTube. Thank God for the podcast. But if you can be at the house, that's what he said we should do. We should be in his house. As we see the day of the Lord approaching, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Lord's statutes are, help me, right. You got to remember that God's word is right. Quit telling your mama, it ain't all that. You deep, mama. No, I'm right. If I'm giving you what the word say, quit saying it ain't all that, mama. You taking it too far. You always in the Bible. Yes, you right. Because his statutes is right. And you know, some young folk do that. Here you go, mama, with that Bible verse. Talk, daddy. Why every time we talk, you got to go to the Bible? Because his statutes are all right. And that, young folk, is what you call good teaching. All right, fellas. Let's go to the second reason we need to learn God's statutes when we're afflicted. Young ladies, what's the first reason? Because his statutes are? All right, right. Let's stay in the same verse, brothers. Same verse. There's a whole lot of truth in this verse. Y'all ready? All right, let's hear the ladies start it out, and you finish it at right, and then brothers, you pick it up at rejoice. Let's see if they're going to do right, Lord. Ready? Go, ladies. The of? Are fellas re in the heart? Come on, The commandment of the Lord is pure. Notice doing what? Enlightening the eyes. That bass was some serious one. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And again, he's talking about God's word or his statutes. Notice what God's statutes do. Enlightening the eyes. Enlightening the eyes. See, God's statutes or God's word will make us intelligent. I said God's word will make us intelligent. Make us look good. Show us the way to go. That's what his statutes will do. His word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. His statutes, his word will show us the way, young folk, to go. It'll show us the way to go. Show us what we should do and what we should not do. It don't matter what's popular. It don't matter what they're doing on social media. Your eyes have been enlightened. You know what to do. Now just do it. His statutes enlighten the eyes. You remember the Hebrew boy, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? Look at how enlightened they were. The king wanted them to worship a false god, a false or idol. And he said, if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fire. But they were so enlightened, they was like, look, we ain't even got to be slow to answer you in this matter. We are not going to worship your idols. Our God, whom we serve, is well able to deliver us. And if he choose not to, he's still what? He's still able to do it. They were enlightened. They knew the power and the authority that their God had. And they basically told the king, you do what you got to do. But we fear God more than we fear you. They were enlightened. They had wisdom. They had knowledge. They had understanding. And it was demonstrated in their choices. They didn't bow down. They were thrown into the fiery pit. Fire turned up 7 times more. And when the king looked in there, he saw that there was the Son of Man walking with them. God was delivering them. what was going on. They were demonstrating to the king, hey, God's statutes are more important than anything that we have and go through in this life. Am I talking right? And see, we need to learn from that. We need to learn. When we get to going through fiery trials, we strive to keep God's statutes, just like those Hebrew boys. Are you understanding? No matter what we go through, God's word, I showed you last week, is living. It's powerful. God's word gonna talk to you. Hey, you need to do this. You don't need to do that. His word will talk to you and show you the way that you should go in life. But sometimes we get messed up, young folk. We get to going through things and we get to looking and we get to walking by what we see. But we don't need to do that. Why? What does the Bible say? We walk by faith and not by sight. You know what faith has to do with? It's synonymous with the statutes of God, the word of God. This is what we walk by. This is what we live according to. Are you with me? All right. So his statutes are right. His statutes enlighten us. And finally, let's close it out in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. See, let me tell you how I am while y'all turn to Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. When I come to church and I listen to my pastor, I listen to elders, I listen to ministers, and they teach and preach the word, and they're making comments, not only am I following them in the scripture, but I'm making sure before I say amen that what they are saying lines up with God's statutes. That's how we need to be. When I watch things on television, when I watch things on the internet, and I hear people voice their opinion and so forth, I'm making sure it lines up with God's statutes. Are you hearing me? Because man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. But see, some people, they don't do that. But we all need to do that. Am I right? Before we read Deuteronomy 4, I want to share something that happened on this weekend with you that lines up with learning, and especially learning God's word. So yesterday I was getting my truck washed. I took it to the car wash in the midst of all of what I told y'all when we was in the offering. Y'all remember what I said earlier? But one of my stops was the car wash. And so it was me and my wife, we were getting the truck washed, and there was this older woman that was in front of us waiting on her car to be finished getting dried off in detail. And I made a comment to the woman while she was sitting there. I said, man, that's a pretty car you got right there. Are y'all listening to me? I said, I know that's an older car. I said, but you done kept good care of that car. And she began to look at me and she said, I'm going to tell you the truth, sir. She said, that was my husband's car. And my husband, he just recently died. And I just began to listen. I said, really? And she saw that I was paying attention to her, and she turned all the way around. And she said, you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth, sir. And she began to look at me. She said, my husband died of cancer. He had lung cancer and he had bone cancer. And he lived a good life. And we were at a hospital in Atlanta. I'm not going to tell you the name of the hospital, she told me. She said, and I'm going to tell you something. She said, I don't normally curse. She said, but this was just some boo. This is what she told me. I said, what happened? She said, sir, don't you know that these doctors at this hospital, my husband's heart died, his lungs collapsed, and he died because of heart failure. But don't you know, sir, that these doctors tried to put on the paperwork that my husband died of COVID-19? I said, are you serious? She said, my husband didn't have no COVID-19. He was dealing and battling cancer. And I had to fight them. And she said again, she said, I'm sorry, I don't curse often, but this is something. And so I continued the conversation because tears start rolling down her eyes. She said, I've been married to this man for 36 years. And she took a picture out. She took a picture out and began to show me. She said, he lived a healthy life. He just cut grass before the day he died. He didn't have no COVID. She said, but these doctors tried to pressure me to sign this paperwork to say that they get that he had COVID-19. I said, you know why they did that? I said, I done read reports. I said, this is popular now. She said, I know why. She said, because they would have got $40,000 if they would have said he died of this particular disease. I said, ma'am, that is not only sad and demonic. I said, that's disrespectful. She said, I had to fight. I said, let me ask you something. I said, how did you fight them? She said, I told him I was going to call the media on them. See, I was going to call the media on them and expose them for what they were trying to do to my husband's name. And she told me, she said, they finally gave up. They didn't. She said, they finally stopped putting the pressure on me. I said, good God Almighty. And she was just crying. And then another man that was sitting beside, he started to chime in. He was just sitting there listening the whole time. And he started to say some stuff. But God had me focusing on this. On what this woman was saying. But here's the key. After she gave that testimony, she said, sir, I'm going to let you go. She said, but I'm going to be honest. She was looking at me with tears coming out of her eyes. She said, I used to believe everything, or most of the things. She corrected herself. She said, most of the things that they would say on the news. She said, until it happened to me. I said, you done learned, huh? She said, I'm telling you. She said, I don't believe this stuff because I see now what they have been doing. See, young folk, we have got to make sure we are learning God's word, because there are people and institutions out here. They will challenge you on God's report. And Paul had to ask one church, and Isaiah asked it in the Old Testament, whose report will you believe? Who you gonna learn from? And that touched me so. I said, Lord, you just confirming things that we are teaching your people. We gotta stick to what we've learned. That Bible talks about how people in the last days will be greedy for money and doing some evil things for it. Because the love of money, young folk, is the root of all types of evil. And I believe God allowed that woman to share her testimony with me to confirm we got to hold on to what we're learning from God and not from what man is trying to get on the inside of us. Not what this society is trying to get in us. Or Paul said, this world, be not conformed to this world. The world's system, the world's teaching. Are you understanding? And so we have to allow God's word to give us intelligence and not this system. Are you understanding? Deuteronomy 4. And we done. Now, O Israel, Israel is the people of God, the church. Listen to the statutes and the judgments. Let's go with what I just said, which I teach you. Notice, to observe. Do what I teach you. Do what God teaches us. And then he goes on to say, why? That you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. See, when we get to going through things in life, young folk, we need to learn God's statutes, because that's what's going to give us life. That's what's going to cause us to possess the land or to be productive in every aspect of our life. That's what's going to cause us to go from the bottom to the top. And that's what the Lord told Israel at one time. Look, I want you to live above only and never beneath. But how is that going to happen? When you and I observe the Lord's statutes. Y'all see it in the text? When we listen and observe to what God is teaching us. How many know Jesus came that we might have life and have it what? More abundantly. But it only happens if we're not a hearer only of the word, but also a what? A doer. When I come to church, I'm listening and I'm leaving here observing or doing. Likewise, young folk, listen and observe or do. When it comes to God's statutes, and when you get to going through in life, don't let what you go through stop that process. You keep listening to the word, and you keep putting it what? Into action. Well, they saying that we don't need to come to church and praise the Lord. Well, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says, open up your mouth, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So I done heard what man say, and I done heard what the word says. I'm choosing to obey the word. That's how we have to be. That's how we have to be. Y'all understand? Well, they saying it's recession. Well, okay, I hear what man say. But God done used his prophet to say better is here. Better is coming. So I got to choose which one I'm going to observe or do. I'm choosing what God is teaching me. And even if I go through and have to experience certain things, I'm still going to hang on to what God is teaching. Are y'all understanding, young folk? And this does not just happen when you get grown. You got to do this while you're young, while you're teenage, preteen, young adult. If we going to live or live our best life, we need to put God's word into what? Action. We need to listen and do it. We need to listen and what? And do it. That's how you live your best life. You have to lose your life in order to find true life. How many understand we need to learn from our affliction based upon what I've taught? Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap. Come on, let's put those hands together a little bit harder with more gratefulness.